Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
My God. I don't know about you. I get excited just coming to church. I look forward to it. My Lord and my God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I hope everyone had a blessed week, and it's good to see everyone whole and healthy and looking good. Thank you, Lord. Let's turn our Bibles. This month, we are studying what has been made available for us in redemption. And last week, we had baptism. We had an awesome time as well. It was so great. It was so wonderful. People going in and coming out. That's always exciting. And so we talked about our identification with Jesus Christ in his when he died on the cross, when he was buried, when he went to hell, and when he was resurrected. And then in his seating as well, we saw the fact that we were identified with him. And when you get the revelation of that, it makes all the difference in the Christian walk. And you can catch up on the podcast on the website if you missed it as well. If you missed it, you missed half of your life. No, that's just a joke. But you can always catch up. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. Oh, my Lord, I love Jesus and his word. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Thank you, Lord. What has been made available to us? We'll discover some more this morning. Notice, he says, this is a prayer that he prayed for the church always. And you can pray this prayer for yourself as well, always. We pray this over every one of us, always. We pray that over everyone. But notice what he says, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened. Another translation says, the Amplified says, having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Notice verse 21. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. Notice that word dominion. And above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is praying for this church and for this church that the eyes of their hearts will be open, that they may have the revelation of what happened when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and to know that the exceeding greatness of his power is already toward us who believe. He's saying that he wants your to be the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened, to be flooded with light to know what happened. Because it's so important. It's one of the central themes of what Jesus Christ did and what was made available to us. You see, in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, we'll come back to Ephesians, but let's go to Genesis chapter 1, the book of beginnings. Right there in the beginning, when God created man, what he said to them, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He said, Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. There's that word again. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heaven, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And 28, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Those were the first words that man heard. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over everything, over the whole earth. Let us create man in our image and let them have dominion. So man was originally created to exercise dominion. It's in all of us. We desire to dominate our environment. And sometimes it gets perverted. You can even see it in little kids. If you have siblings, as soon as another sibling comes, one wants to exercise dominion over the other. It's exercised the wrong way. Because it's in all of us. You see it in wars between nations. I mean, between countries and all these things going on. That is God's original intent for us to exercise dominion. But then in Genesis chapter 3, when the enemy came in, through an act of their own will, they turned that authority, they turned that dominion over to the enemy. So, but the thing is, when we study the Bible, all of the program in the Bible revolves around God's original intent. It got interrupted for a little period of time, but through Christ Jesus, that dominion, that authority has been restored. Glory be to the name of the Lord. If you believe that, say amen. So now with that foundation, let's go back to the book of Ephesians. So he's praying that the eyes of their understanding will be opened to know what has happened. Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. He's saying that when Christ Jesus was raised from the dead, verse 20 says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And notice what he said to them in the same Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In verse 3, notice what he says. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. In the heavenly places. Also in Christ Jesus, if you are in Christ, he has already blessed you. He's already blessed you with every spiritual blessing there is in the heavenly places. That is exciting. My Lord and my God. Sometimes you may look at somebody and think that they are more blessed than you. No, you won't find anything like that in the Bible. He's blessed all of us with every spiritual blessing. He didn't hold back at all. You are blessed. And so you would notice in the beginning, he created them and blessed them, saying. And so in Christ Jesus, every spiritual blessing has been restored. It's a matter of our spiritual comprehension. It's a matter of us finding out about it. And then when we know about it, walking in the fullness of it. You see, that's what the enemy doesn't like. He wants to obscure some of this truth. He wants to keep it from us. But thanks be to God, we are coming to find out a little bit. We have come to know about what Jesus Christ has done. We have come to know that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing there is in the heavenlies. And it's not just knowing about it, but when we know about it, walking in the fullness of it. Knowing and walking in the truth is what brings result. Knowing the truth and acting on it is what brings result. But here he's saying that when Christ was raised from the dead, set him far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Verse 22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church. Christ didn't need the authority. Christ didn't need the dominion. He came to do all these things for you and I, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so when he gets to chapter 2, you have to realize that the Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. Man divided it in chapters and verses to help us and to help us to reference the Bible. No one, you don't write a letter to your aunt and say, Aunt Susie, chapter 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. No, he's writing a letter to the church. So when he gets to chapter 2, he's continuing the same thought. And so when he gets to chapter 6 as well, it's a letter that he's writing. And so he talks about chapter 6, verse 12. He says that, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Those are the things that he's talking about in chapter 1, that Christ has been set far above them. And then when he gets to chapter 2, verse 5, notice what he says as well, referring to us. Thank you, Lord. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is seated in the heavenly places, the throne of God. If you know anything about kings and kingdoms, the throne represents the source of power. Oh, the throne of God represents the greatest place of power in the universe. And Jesus Christ is seated there. But what he is saying is, you and I, when he was raised from the dead, we were made alive together with him and made to sit together with him in heavenly places. And earlier on, he has said, where he is seated is far above. So you and I are seated together with him positionally, far above these principalities and powers that we have to deal with. My Lord and my God, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice what he says in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. This is when he sent his disciples and they used his name against the power of the enemy. He said, behold, Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I have given you. This was even before Jesus Christ came to die and defeated the enemy for us and before he resurrected. I have given you authority to tread. He starts talking about serpents and scorpions, and then he winds up talking about over all the power of the enemy. So he's using the serpent and the scorpions figuratively to refer to the power of the enemy. I have given you authority to tread on serpent and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Oh, a very good, you see, authority is delegated power. Let's all say that this morning. Authority. Oh, say it loud, authority is delegated power. Sometimes if you are at a traffic intersection and the light goes off, the policeman stands there and directs traffic. He doesn't have the power to stop all those cars from running over him. What he has is a badge on him, which represents the state or the city that is backing him. He has authority to stop those cars. All those big cars, he doesn't have the power to stop them. The power is from, but he has authority. He is backed by the government. He is backed by the city. Oh, in the same way. Oh, sometimes you may look at yourself and you say, I don't feel power. I don't feel like I have authority. Your feelings, dear one, has nothing to do with it. That policeman that didn't stand there and say, I don't feel that I have the authority and I don't feel that I have the power. No, he just goes by his bat and stops that traffic. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus, we are backed by the power of Almighty God. And we are not talking about a mean person here. We are backed by the power of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. So I give you authority and to tread over all the power of the enemy. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Let's go back there again. This will mean a lot to you now. Thank you, Lord. It says, this is so important. Finally, Ephesians 6, 10. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, in the strength of his power. Be strong in the Lord. Don't try to be strong in your own self. In your own strength, you cannot, walk in victory over the enemy. Oh, but take on the armor of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Be strong in the Lord. The victory has already been won. And the devil recognizes authority when he sees it. My Lord and my God. There was a great minister earlier on in the 20th century. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. One day he was walking and he saw a woman going to board a bus, and they had a little dog following her, and the woman said to the dog, "Please kindly go home. Please kindly go home." Then the dog kept following her around, wanting to go with her. And then finally she got upset and said, "Get!" And as soon as he said "get," the dog ran off. And Smigwiza said, without thinking, I said, that's how you have to do the devil sometimes. When it comes to your affairs, just lift up that banner, just lift up that name and say, "Get." Get! Get out of my affairs. Authority belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Authority in Christ belongs to us in Christ Jesus. We are told to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Study the New Testament carefully. There is no place in the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church that he told them to pray to God to do something about the devil. Think about it. Notice what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Because the work has already been done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Notice what he says to them. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. My Lord, this is a treat, I tell you. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. This is so important. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 9. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Notice, this letter was written to Christians. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary roars around. He prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. What are you going to do? What are we going to do about it? Stick our head in the sand like an ostrich and hope that he will go away? No. Talk to God to do something about him? No. Notice what he says. Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. He's telling you to do something about him. because he has given you the authority, because he has given you the power, resist him, put up a fight, give him a kick. When they say someone is resisting arrest, it means they are putting up a fight. They are resisting arrest. That's what he's saying. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith. That's the first proposition there as well. Resist him firm in your faith. And writing to the Ephesians as well. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. He tells them also to do something about the devil. He says, and give no opportunity, this translation says, to the devil. The other translation says, and give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. That means he can't have any place in you unless you give him place. And you wouldn't be able to do that unless you have authority over him. Give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. He doesn't play nice. If you give him the storage room in your house, next thing you know, he wants to take over the whole house. He doesn't play nice. Give him no place. Give him no place. Resist him firm in your faith. And so I don't know the area of your life where he may have taken place. But this morning, as the light of God's word is coming forth, make a stand and say, devil, I refuse to give you place in my life. I refuse to give you place in my health. I refuse to give you place in my finances. I refuse to give you place in my business. I refuse to give you place in my children. Enough is enough. Get out of my affairs in Jesus' mighty name. If that's you, say a big amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, Jesus Christ is the head and we are the body. My Lord, how much can your head do without your body? Think about it. No, you get up from service and then your head gets up on its own and drives off home. No, the authority of Jesus Christ is now exercised through his body. It's now exercised through his body. He is up there in heaven, all authority. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. These things are very important. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Before he left, glory be to the name of the Lord. And Jesus came and said to him and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I've taken back that authority that Adam lost in the beginning. Go, therefore. Now, the earthly portion of it is going to be exercised through you. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. All the authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now I am delegating all the earthly portion of it to you. So in Ephesians chapter 1, towards the end, where we read earlier on, Ephesians chapter 1, let's go back there again. Now it will mean something to you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1. It says, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He's put all things under his feet. The feet are part of the body. Isn't that the case? The little toe member of the body of Christ has authority and dominion over the enemy. But if you don't know it, he'll keep rubbing your nose in the sand, so to speak. But this morning, we are finding out about it. That's what I found. Once I began to realize, the light of it began to dawn in some areas. I refused to tolerate him around. Well, I remember when our first son was born, After 6 months, there was an issue in his body, and the doctor said they are going to do surgery on him. And then one day I was just going out to work, and I said, by the time I come back from work, this condition will leave his body. I just said it from that standpoint. I mean, he's not supposed to have that in his body. I just left. I went to work. By the time I came back, that condition in his body was completely gone. Amen. I made a decree and stood by it. He didn't have to have that surgery. Thank you, Lord. You see, I mean, I have authority in my own household. You have authority. The greatest place where you have authority is in your own household as well. We can't just go along the street and exercise authority over other people. Some people may want to buddy up with the devil, so we just have to leave them alone. but you have authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you go in my name. You go in my name. The authority is now exercised through his body. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And this week, something dawned on me. When I was studying, I saw it. That our exercising authority is dependent on our obedience to the Lord. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Our exercising authority is dependent on us being obedient to the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Okay, let's dig into it. Have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Notice the phrase, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He became obedient to the point of death. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name. He had to be obedient first before his name was exalted. Being obedient to God is what causes us to walk in the authority that has been conferred on us. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They disobeyed God and they lost it. Think about it. They disobeyed God and lost it. But in Christ Jesus. Notice he says something similar in Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1. Obedience to the word of God. To the word of God is what causes us to walk in dominion and authority. We don't do it apart from him. First, we must be born again. And then next, we must come to the point where we say we will obey you whatever you tell us to do. Notice, oh my Lord and my God. Deuteronomy chapter 28, Jesus must have known that. He was learned in all these things. It says, if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high. Notice the correlation between faithfully obeying the voice of God and being set high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Obedience is tied to us walking in the blessings of God. Obedience is tied walking high above the circumstances of life. Walking high in the place where God has ordained for us. If you faithfully, don't just do it one day and not do it another day. Consistently obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high. My Lord and my God, obedience is tied to the raw obedience. God, your word said it, I will do it. As we make a choice, as we make a decision that we will obey the voice of God, we will do what he tells us in the mighty name of Jesus. Any circumstance of life that seems to be on top of you, any circumstance of life that seems to be, that you seem to be underneath, in the mighty name of Jesus, may you be lifted high. If that's you, say a big amen this morning. May you be set high. He became obedient unto death, and God gave him a name that is above every name. If you are faithful to obey the voice of God, he will set you high. I'm ready to run around this building, I tell you. My Lord and my God, he has ordained for us to walk in obedience. And as we obey his word, as we obey what he tells us to do, our future is guaranteed in God. Our future is guaranteed in God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There is no substitute for obedience in our quest for dominion. There is no substitute. We become obedient to the point, like Esther, if I perish, I perish. If I don't care what happens, I am set to obey God. Whatever he tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. You see, because there are miracles on the other side of obedience. Someone told Saul, to obey is better than to sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Abraham obeyed God, and God said, because you have obeyed God and given to me your son, in blessing I will bless you. I've made you a father of many nations. I mean, God told him that go and sacrifice your son. He didn't tell him where to do it. So I can imagine Abraham on his way. God has told me that I should go and sacrifice, and he didn't tell me with a place that I should go and sacrifice him, but he was willing to obey. He was willing to obey. He was willing to obey. Get up in the morning and tell yourself, Lord, this morning I am at your command. This morning I am yours to command. I am yours. I want to obey every word that you tell me. As I study your word, open it up to me. As I walk about my day, reveal to me areas that I can be of bless, that way I can obey you and do your will. You are totally yielded up to him. Yielded to him. You see, I quoted this earlier on in John chapter 2, verse 5, when they ran out of wine at the wedding. What an embarrassing situation. Jesus' mother told the people, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. I mean, he had a plan on what to do, but if the people decide not to do whatever he's telling them, they will still remain in their shame and they will still remain in that embarrassing situation. That is the secret to the Christian life. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. And when they did it, miracles were on the other side. Dominion was exercised. And the water was turned into wine. And the people said, this is the best kind that we've had. But the key here is, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Because the thing is, you don't know what's on the other side of your obedience. in every area, as we study the word of God, as we are faithful to him, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Thank you, Lord. Notice what these people did for the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. This is so important. Acts chapter 9, verse 23. Acts 9, 23. It says, and when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. And they were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples. And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord who spoke to him and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. His life was at risk. But some disciples, led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him down in a basket. And who brought the revelation of the authority of the believer? It was the Apostle Paul. When they were letting him down in that rope, they didn't know who was on the other end of the line. They didn't know that he would become a great apostle and write all these letters to us. You see, as we obey God, it may seem insignificant. It may seem very little, but you don't know who is on the other side. As we hold the rope for other people, we may not know who is on the other side. As we endeavor, the Lord, I have seen the light. Everyone around me, and that doesn't know you, I desire to share the gospel with them. Oh, you don't know who is on the other side. There may be a Paul on the other side. There may be an apostle on the other side. There may be a prophet on the other side. There may be a teacher on the other side. There may be a pastor on the other side. There may be a president who is coming up in the next 20 years on the other side. Don't know. Don't know. They let him down in a basket. I pray. My brother held the rope for me when I wasn't saved. He was praying for me that I will come into the kingdom of God, into the fullness of salvation. He was holding the rope for me. And here I am today. My Lord and my God. And we are going places. And Barnabas, notice this person also. Barnabas took him. When he got to Jerusalem, the people said, no. This one will have nothing to do with him. We know his history and his past. He's used to killing people and taking them and putting them into prison. God's people, don't bring this man here. We are not sure about him. But Barnabas took him. He asked, may you be a Barnabas for somebody. He introduced these people to the apostles, but you decide that I will obey God and be a Barnabas for somebody. Introduce someone to Jesus Christ. I will let my life count. Again, Barnabas didn't know what he was in. The person that he was introducing to the apostles. You see, but he endeavored to play his part. He endeavored to do his part. They let him down through a wall in the basket. Our obedience to God in the little things, it may seem insignificant. Tell this person about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do an act of kindness for somebody. Share his love with somebody. Oh, when he drops that in your heart, just go ahead and do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. There are miracles on the other side. And you're on the other side of your obedience. Oh, he has a plan to set you high above. In this season, as we have discovered. Oh, and next week we'll continue as well. There are more nuggets he will want us to see. But the key here is, in the mighty name of Jesus, the dominion that was lost in Adam, us being restored. And in Revelation chapter 1, he says he's made us kings and priests unto our God. And in Revelation 5:10, he says he's made us kings and priests and will reign. Oh, this morning, no matter the circumstance of life, no matter what you may be going through, there is power in the name of Jesus. He has ordained you to walk in dominion. He has ordained you to walk in the authority and in power. He's not ordained for you to be a weakling. No, no, no. To be dominated by sickness and by lack and by... No, he's meant for your life to be one of significance. For you to have sleepless night, that is not God's plan. He wants you to lie down in peace and rest and wake up refreshed and go out to make an impact and a difference. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That's what one of us discovered, Pastor Paula was sharing earlier on, when she discovered that the price has already been paid. Oh, she said there was this growth in her body. And she went to the doctors. And the doctors were looking for the growth before the surgery, and they couldn't find it. And then she said, all of us can go home then. Dr. Jesus has done his surgery. My Lord and my God. Dominion. You see, like I said, I can't come into your house and just exercise dominion without you giving me permission. I come into your house and I say, okay, well, this furniture is here. I don't want it here. I want it on this side. No. You have dominion and authority in your life as well. And you can exercise it. Walk in the fullness of it. Walk in the fullness. I mean, we have barely scratched the surface of it. One day, Pastor Paula, she was at home and watching the TV, and they said a tornado was coming to land here in the spring. And she said, God, use me here today. Use me today. And so she began to pray against that tornado coming to land down here. And she kept praying. And then after a couple of hours, the news people, the weather people looked on there, and they said they can't find the tornado. They don't know where it went. Glory to God. Glory to God. We are just barely scratching the surface of it. But in the mighty name of Jesus, this morning, just know that the authority and the dominion has been restored in the name of Jesus. Moses, one time, he was when they got to the Red Sea, he was crying out to God. And in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, God said, why are you crying to me? I have given you my rod. I'm willing to use my power here, but you are standing there and crying. Why are you crying to me? So many times God is asking us, what are you going to do about this? And we are crying on you. Do something about it. I've given you the authority. I've given you the dominion. Now you do something about it. This morning I want us to pray before we go. There are certain things that need to change in our lives. Are you willing to do something about it this morning? Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Talk to God. It may be in the area of your finances. It may be regarding your workplace, your work situation. It may be in the area of your children. It may be in the area of your business. It may be in the area, whatever it is. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Oh, take that name this morning. Take that name this morning. And in the mighty name of Jesus, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God, talk to God. Whatever is on your heart, oh, talk to him. He's a God that answers prayer. We don't serve a God, we don't serve a dead God. We serve a living God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Talk to him in the mighty name of Jesus. Let up your voice and talk to him. 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 Oh, let up your voice and talk to him. Pray in the spirit and with your understanding this morning. Let up your voice and talk to him. 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 Oh, diseases depart in the mighty name of Jesus. The mighty presence of God is here this morning. Oh, the circumstance of life that seems like a mountain that will not move. He said, tell that mountain to move, and it will move if you believe it in your heart and speak it. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Let God hear your voice this morning. or if you're listening to this after the fact, and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, and you are being dominated by life, you see, it feels like you are under, and you don't know a way to get out. Jesus Christ is the one that came and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It may seem that there is no way out for you, but Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. If you are willing to begin a relationship with Him this morning, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Today, I believe you were raised from the dead. Thank you. You came to save me. I confess with my mouth, you as Lord. I believe you were raised from the dead. And thank you, I'm saved. And if you are like the prodigal son, he left the house and began to be in want and was competing with pigs for food. Maybe you knew God and you left his house. But today you are saying, I want to come back to God. Just say, Lord Jesus, I come back to you. Take me back in Jesus' mighty name. Let's raise up our hands to him this morning. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all say this together, please. Lord, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the authority and the power in his name. Help us to walk in the fullness of it. Help us to walk in the fullness of it. In Jesus' mighty name, help us to be obedient to you. Help us to be obedient to you. Oh, as you show us in areas where we can walk in obedience, help us to hear your word, to hear your voice, and to do. And as we do that, may we receive all that you have for us. May we walk in the fullness of your plan and purpose for us. Help us to reach others with this message as well. In Jesus' name. Oh, raise your hands and give him praise and glory. Raise your hands and give him praise and glory. Raise your hands and give him praise and glory. Lord, we give you praise and glory. Lord, we give you praise and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. See, let's raise up our hands again. As you make a commitment to obey God and to serve him, in the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that may you experience his goodness and his blessings this week. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of this week in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, may the eyes of your heart be open and be flooded with light. In the name of Jesus, may every area where darkness has taken over, may the light of God's word dispel that darkness. May you be blessed. May he fill your mouth with testimonies. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you be blessed going in and coming out. In Jesus' mighty name, may you be protected. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace, his shalom. In Jesus' mighty name, if that's you, say a big amen to the Lord this morning. My Lord and my God, glory be to the name of the Lord.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-2789. 5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.